It's a film that loves horror movies. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? That's what it does. It engages other people who love horror movies.
You know, this trailer is just a great example right off the top of what makes the Parasite movie so creepy, because you've got to have that scene where something's burrowing under your skin.
Yeah.
And that's just, man.
I just want to say that tagline, what doesn't kill you makes you wish it did. That's a great
tagline.
That is good.
Welcome. We are back at Gateway Film Center for Fright Club Live. We got another great short film to show tonight.
We do.
And we've got a fun topic. And first we're talking about, what did we even do last time? I don't even remember.
We did Skeletons in the Closet.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Skeletons in the Closet, always one of our most fun times of year. It's Oscar
yes.
time. Of course, the Oscars coming up on Sunday.
That's right.
We're taping this on Friday at night before the Oscars. So we always have fun digging into the bad horror movie past of Oscar nominees. Been doing this for a bunch of years, and it's fun.
Oh, yeah. Well, we did it. We've done it since far longer than we've had a podcast, really. For probably as long as we've known each other, we've done this because it's just a fun thing. And as you watch, and during the nominations, like, broadcast, immediately I'm like, oh, you know. And it was so fun for me when Clooney would get nominated year after year after year for a while, because God damn, George Clooney made a lot of bad horror movies. So that was always fun.
He's always got Grizzly 2
oh,
in the back
right.
pocket.
Grizzly
yeah.
2. Oh, so anyway, that's a lot of fun. It's always yeah. fun to show those. And I wanted to say, there's a movie called Subterranea, and it was really hopeful, right? Because I'd not seen it before, and it co-stars Lily Gladstone. And that's one of my favorite things, is when I just am like, oh, look, it's a terrible horror movie, and I've never seen it before, but this big giant star is in it. And it turns out, even though the plot synopsis makes it seem like it's horror, it's really not. But God, it's awful. Just awful. So she didn't make the countdown because it's not a horror movie, but it is a skeleton in Lily's closet, I'll tell you
but
what.
But she's gone on to bigger and better
she
things.
Has, she and has, we'll, and I think she's going to come
we'll
home with an
probably
Oscar.
Probably get some hardware this weekend. You know, in all the excitement of me having to switch out these cords, I forgot to say that she is Hope Madden.
He's George Wolf.
And we're from MadWolf.com, back for Fright Club Live. So yeah, got thrown off the track.
And you know what today is?
Today is International Women's Day.
And so we're matchy-matchy today with our American Psycho gear, goat.
Yes.
Goat.
I've got the Pierce & Pierce business card.
That's right.
That's bone.
Is that a watermark?
And the font is, oh, what is the font? Cerulean something or other. I forget. Now I'm embarrassed. I
anyway,
don't know the font.
Happy International Women's Day and happy Women in Horror Day to Mary Harron.
Yes. From American
and
Psycho. And Hope. And all the women here tonight.
And all the women. And Vernell. All of us here today.
So we're glad to have you. We're talking about parasites in horror, and we're going to show a great example of that tonight. And do you have a few before we get going on? Because we've got a top five, our top five parasites in
That's
horror.
That's right.
What do you got that almost made it?
Okay, so there are a couple that almost made it. And one, you know, I don't know if it was like... I kept thinking to myself, is this really a parasite exactly? Maybe? I know what's delicious dessert topping. So The Stuff. The Stuff came very close to making this list. I love that movie so much. I love that Garrett Morris's title, his name is Chocolate Chip Jones. I think every movie should have a character named Chocolate Chip Jones. I love that movie. So that it came very close to making it, but I couldn't exactly decide if that was a parasite or not.
Okay.
There's also a movie called Pussy Cakes. It's fairly recent and pretty good.
Excuse me?
Yep. And then, of course, the classic, The Tingler.
The Tingler. I remember when I was a kid and I would go bowling. And I would go in the bathroom, and there was always an ad for The Tingler, and I didn't understand what that was about. But
it's a movie, George.
Okay, that's what it was. It was a movie ad. Now I know.
And then also, there's another one that didn't make the list, but we're going to talk about it in conjunction with two of the movies that did make the list, so I'm not going to name it right now.
All right. That's just a few that almost made it, but we've got Parasites. Hey, welcome. So we're going to number five.
Yes,
yeah, we'll
indeed.
Start at number five for our favorite parasites. From 1975, the residents of a suburban high-rise apartment building are being infected by a strain of parasites that turn them into mindless sex-crazed fiends out to infect others by the slightest sexual contact. I hate when that happens. It shivers.
A bizarre murder-suicide has police baffled today as they attempt to untangle events leading to the discovery of a woman's body lying in a pool of blood.
He implanted her with a parasite. You gotta get at them fast.
Why won't you let me help you?
Listen to me. Tell him I need help and to make it fast.
You know, this trailer is just a great example right off the top of what makes the Parasite movie so creepy, because you've got to have that scene where something's burrowing under your skin.
Yeah.
And that's just, man, that's just creepy. You can feel, you can almost feel that.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's so creepy in this movie. I love this movie. I love David Cronenberg. You might know that if you've ever heard this podcast before. And this was his first horror feature, and it was paid for by like the Toronto Arts Council, which I just love the idea that they paid for this movie and then watched it and were like, the fuck did we just do?
Right.
I love
and
he got
a lot of blowback. In fact, a Canadian journalist really came out and wrote articles about how bad the movie was. And he has said in interviews that it made it more difficult to obtain funding for future movies, and it got him kicked out of his Toronto apartment. That's the power that critics hold, I guess,
right.
at least in Canada.
But it's a great movie. I mean, and it really holds up. And it's a funny thing. So he cycles through a lot of the same themes that he has in this movie. You can see it again in Rabid, really, obviously. Also, though, again, in The Crazies and in a lot of his other films. I mean, he just, not just the body horror, but some other very specific themes. But in rewatching this recently, I recognized a theme that I love in all things, which is basically, the problem with the world is rich people.
Yeah, right.
That's my favorite theme.
And, I don't know, I can't imagine why, but we're seeing that a lot again today.
Yes,
we're seeing
that
right now, a big theme in movies. And it's interesting that he got in so much trouble for making it because it was quote-unquote bad, but it became an incredibly profitable film, one of the most profitable films in Canadian history at the time.
Right.
I mean, it was very popular.
Oh, yeah, it was hugely popular. And, I mean, it's, you know, and you can see, we're going to talk about another one, a favorite of ours, that draws directly from this movie.
Oh, yeah.
But then also, Night of the Creeps. So Night of the Creeps is the one, it's not going to make this list, I apologize to everybody who thought that it might. I love that movie, Night of the Creeps. Night of the Creeps clearly loves this movie. No questions asked. It loves this movie. There are so many things in common, but I think one of the reasons is because Cronenberg really struck a nerve, you know, in not just sort of the contagion, that primal fear, right? But that slug, that thing that he created and how nasty it was. But one of the other things I love about this movie is how it's just, it is chaos. You know, it's like you think to yourself, and especially in the very opening sequence with that sort of schoolgirl, you know, being murdered, you're like, oh, this is going to be one of those kind of Dario Argento, like hot girls get killed in a sexual way. Mm-hmm. And then immediately they introduce you to the old lady with the walker, you know, and you're like, no, this is going to get weird. And it does, man. This movie gets weird.
And it's got some genre favorites, Lynn Lowry and
Barbara Steele, yeah,
both in this movie. And I think over the years, Cronenberg himself has been pretty vocal about seeing so much of this in Alien, in the Alien franchise.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't know if Dan O'Bannon has ever countered that about admitting it or not, but you can definitely see why.
Oh,
especially
for sure.
The bursting out of the chest type of stuff. Yeah, there's a lot here. But for sure, you mentioned the one, I think it's the movie we're going to talk about next, borrows so heavily from this, so heavily. And it's a very obvious homage to this movie. At number five on our list of parasites in horror, that is Shivers from 1975. So let's go up to, well, next is the one actually we're going to show tonight, but we won't talk about it too much. This is from 2008. Trapped in an isolated gas station by a voracious splinter parasite that transforms its still living victims into deadly hosts, a young couple and an escaped convict must find a way to work together to survive this primal terror. Splinter!
Watch the splinter.
Don't want to stick you.
Here!
It's gonna get in here. It's gonna kill us.
You okay?
Don't touch it.
Yeah, so how many people have not seen this at all? Wow! That's
Yay!
Great. That's a lot more. That you haven't seen it either? That's
yes.
a lot more than I would have expected. I
yes.
love that. That's great. So we won't talk much about it at all until afterwards, and then we want to get your thoughts on it. Come down and get it on the podcast. But as you saw from the trailer, the always welcome Shea Whigham.
Yeah, one of the most reliable character actors working today, Shea Whigham. Also, I just want to say that tagline, what doesn't kill you makes you wish it did. That's a great
that
tagline.
Is good. That
I
is,
love that.
Yeah, that is very, very good. And this is director Toby Wilkins, who did The Grudge 3.
Well, we won't hold that against him.
No, we won't. So this is fun. We'll show this here in just a little bit. Guys, did you see how much gas was back then? It was still an arm and a leg. What? Come on. That was fun, though, right?
Yeah.
I'd forgotten how much heavy lifting the editor did.
Oh,
I mean,
a
that
lot.
Was,
yes,
a lot of that was on the editor.
Yeah. Really good job with that. And also, I mean, again, Shea Whigham is just incredibly reliable.
Yeah.
You know, in that, like, in the late, by the time that he sort of gives up the fact that he became a good dude, you already wanted him to live anyway and also knew he wasn't maybe likely to.
Yeah. The you would say the save the cat moment came late.
Yeah.
Usually it comes earlier than that, but it came pretty late. That's a lot of fun.
So anybody have comments about Splinter or about Born Again? I don't want to gloss over that.
Yeah, that was fun
one.
Too.
It's a fun movie, yeah.
Yeah, obviously we'd seen that a bunch of times.
Yeah.
And not only was Jason, who directed that, one of our producers on Obstacle Course and a co-star,
yeah.
but then we had a bunch of other, Randall and Tiffany and Brian also were co-stars of Obstacle Course.
Yep.
So, and that's a lot of fun too. Alexander, what do you think?
Well, first off, for Born Again, this was my first time seeing something directed by Jason, and I'm really excited. After watching this, I'm really excited to see what he does next. And as far as Splinter, it was just such a fun movie to watch. I can definitely see how they kind of like how they use the thing as inspiration
for
this
sure.
movie. As far as the way the monster looks, the suspense.
Yeah, I think I think you're entirely right about that. I mean, it's different in the way that, you know, with the like little spikes that pop out, but the way that they manipulate the human body is clearly, I think, inspired by the thing.
Mm-hmm. Two quick pieces. The practical effects were great,
yeah.
And when they weren't, they were hidden by the editing. But one thing I've learned by watching a lot of your movies is for a video medium, sound effects makes everything, and the sound of the bones dislocating. It was driving poor Vernell crazy.
Yeah, when Shea Whigham, who we love, those snapping bones, you're like, oh no.
Yeah, there's something about that sound specifically.
Yes.
And you know, the Foley guy was probably, I don't know, stepping on twigs or some sort of branches.
But at
or
the
something.
Same time, the editor, again, that quick cut to those cement blocks, and everybody, yeah. like, I heard a groan in the entire room, like, oh no.
Yeah, yeah, that is great. And it's another one of those very, well, I guess, you know, if they were making it today, you'd probably say, oh, this was a COVID production, because it was just limited
yeah,
cast
for sure.
and,
mm-hmm.
and a limited setting, really one setting. But even back then, they were doing it with it wasn't so much claustrophobic, I guess, as a little bit. But it was more just in one confined setting, because much like, say, in like The Mist, where they were
right.
confined to the gas station,
yeah.
you know, they couldn't get out. But yeah, it was did a lot with a little.
And one of the things that came up when we were watching it just now is that we need to do one on nerds. Like, nerds, Squirm. He reminds me of the guy from Squirm. I don't know if anybody else on planet Earth thought of
and
that
nerds,
while watching this.
And
but
nerds that had way outkicked their coverage.
That's true.
For sure.
And Squirm as well. Yeah.
Because that guy, I'm like, I'm sorry, dude. If she wants to go camping, you're going camping. No offense to guys named Seth, by the way.
That's right. She's a firecracker. You're correct.
When it comes to the claustrophobia that you guys were talking about, something I kept
thinking of during this viewing of Splinter was how much of the movie was shot in close-up.
So yes.
You get a very specific sense of place through the movie, and you're never quite sure where you know where you are, but you're not never quite sure exactly where you are. So it's like, you know, the gas station, but you don't know the exact layout of the gas station or the road that they're on or places.
Sure.
Like that. And that could have been practical reasons for the production, but also it works for the film itself to keep everything so contained.
Yeah.
And I love that about this viewing of the film.
Yeah, and I think, you know, they give you the sense early that there is a fire that could potentially happen, and when they circle back to it, I think all those close-ups make you think, like, oh, everyone's roasting. Like, this, no way they're getting out of this.
And they got a lot with just, all you really had to do after a while was just show the spikes.
Yeah.
Just show the spikes growing a little bit, and you got that sense of dread. Yeah, so they did a lot with... I guess a little.
Yeah.
But between that and the editing and the close-ups, and like you say, yeah, you get a lot of really squirmy moments and the sound effects of those bones breaking. Yeah, but all in all, a lot of fun. I'm glad you guys enjoyed it. And it's always fun when we have a crowd that hasn't seen. A lot of people have not seen the movie.
I know.
But still enjoyed it. So that is fantastic. Thank you for all your feedback. That is Splinter. Okay, that's number four. Number three is the one that we were talking about when we were talking about Shivers a bit ago. This is from 2006. A small town is taken over by an alien plague, turning residents into zombies. And all forms of mutant monsters. Slither, the crowd favorite.
From Universal Pictures.
Create a sick or something.
Comes a film so shocking.
We got a real problem here.
So disgusting.
Don't let him in your mouth!
It will change the face of horror.
Marriage is a sacred bond, for better or worse.
Much worse.
I have so many things to say. So when we moved Fright Club Live to Gateway Film Center like 8 years ago, the very first film we showed here was Slither. It's a crowd pleaser. It's hilarious. It's written and directed by James Gunn. I'm not sure why you know James Gunn. I'm sure he's fairly famous. I know James Gunn because he wrote Tromeo and Juliet. And it's funny because there's a scene in this movie where the woman who, something's happening to me, you know, you saw her, giant womb woman, she's watching TV with her child, and that's what they're watching, Tromeo and Juliet. And I was just like, and the other thing about this movie that is so great, besides the cast, which is insane, is that it is so open in the way it loves and homages, not just Shivers.
Oh, so many.
But Night of the Creeps. I mean, the whole first act is essentially a remake of Night of the Creeps.
And then the Shivers
especially
influences
the bathtub, yeah.
Are all over the place.
Oh, yeah.
But little callbacks all over the place. In fact, one time we should do a countdown of the movies that have the most callbacks. Would be tough.
That's a good one. No,
that would be
right.
Tough.
We might have to consult Seth.
We might. This one has a ton of different callbacks to different movies. But I love, according to Nathan Fillion, one of the stars, James Gunn told him about the movie when they were making it, that, quote, "We are making a funny movie, but we're not making a comedy," end of quote. And boy, that sums it up. Because it's not, but it's very funny.
It is
very funny.
But it's
also very gross.
It's very gross.
Yeah. And very, you know, tense and scary, but in a fun way. It's just so much fun. You talked about it being a crowd pleaser. You could tell by the reaction of the crowd just from the trailer. It is. It's just fun.
Yeah, it's an A movie that loves B movies, like loves them. It's full of affection for them. And the cast is insane. Nathan Fillion, every nerd girl's boyfriend, Nathan Fillion. And then, and of course, Elizabeth Banks and Michael Rooker. He's so great in this movie. He's so great in every horror movie. He's just such a great face to see show up in a horror movie. You're like, yeah, things are going to go wrong.
You know,
now.
And they ended up getting lucky because, you know, Jenna Fisher, who was in it, she was married to James Gunn at the time, and she was not supposed to be in the movie. But another actor dropped out, and she got the part. And by the time it came out, she was a big, and The Office was a big hit.
She's also great in it.
She is great in it. But they kind of got a little bit of boost there because at the time she was riding a wave of having a hit TV series. But
it's so clever. It's so
funny.
I mean, it is gross as hell. and I think that's one of the things that I really like about it is that it is really, it's a crowd pleaser. It's very upbeat, but it It's a film that loves horror movies. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? That's what it does. It engages other people who love horror movies.
And also a shout out. You talk about the cast. Longtime character actor Greg Henry plays the sheriff.
Right.
He's great.
He's great.
Yeah. So it's just a ton of fun. And that was a great pick. Showing that as the opening film as we
moved.
Because we had shown it before, too, right? At one of the different theaters we were at?
No. This was the first time we showed
it.
Yeah.
All right. Well, good move there. And that is Slither, number 3 on our list of parasites in horror. So let's move up to the top 2. And yeah, these are crowd pleasers, and pretty easy to guess. But what are we going to do? This is from number 2 from 1982. A research team in Antarctica. Thank you. Say it with me. Is hunted by a shape-shifting alien that assumes the appearance of its victims, the Thing.
I know I'm human. Some of you are still human. This Thing doesn't want to show itself. It wants to hide inside an imitation. It'll fight if it has to, but it's vulnerable out in the open. If it takes us over, then it has no more enemies. Nobody left to kill it. And then it's won.
You guys gonna listen to Gary? He can beat one of those things!
Man is the warmest place to hide. That's a great line, too.
Yeah, that's another good one. A fun fact I love about this movie, that it opened on the exact same day as E.T. that's a double feature that you want to check out.
Yes,
and
indeed.
This is one of the best examples, I think, of a movie that has only grown in stature over the decades.
Yeah, because it was bomb when it came out.
It was.
Yeah.
And it wasn't really thought of as you know, anything, a classic, especially in John Carpenter's resume. And since then, you know, a lot of people, including, I think, us, thinks it's his best movie.
Yes, I absolutely think
it's just
best movie.
Great. I mean, there's right down to every little piece of it. The tension that it builds, the questionable ending, you know, that's been much discussed, the practical effects, everything about it is just...
The facial hair? The facial hair alone.
The beardiest horror movies, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know where the alien found room with all that facial hair. It's just a brilliant, brilliant film. Everything about it, we've talked about it before, how... So many of the scenes are like vast and open and at the same time unbelievably claustrophobic because there's just nowhere to go. And the whole cast, obviously, of course, Kurt Russell, MacReady, he's a great character. But Keith David.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, and that saucy baritone. God, I love me some Keith David. And, I mean, the whole cast, top to bottom, is so Wolf of Brimley. Everybody is so great in this movie. And the paranoia is just, you could cut it with a knife.
Yeah,
it's
the
so
paranoia
good.
And the kind of... you know, hide and seek going on, because there are so many times where if you could just see around a corner, but you can't,
right.
You can see a shadow maybe around a corner that would tell you who's doing it or who, you know, who is infected and who is not, but you can't.
And the practical effects absolutely still hold up. I mean, it's so, just to watch the sort of, you know, mutations and the grotesquerie, it's so uncomfortable.
Ooh, did you just make up a word?
Grotesquerie.
I love it. Yeah, grotesquerie. because today, you know, it would be done by some sort of CGI, but I'll take these all day.
Oh, yeah.
All day. Oh, yeah. And I think there's a wave leaning back that way toward practical effects, but this one holds up for sure, and as far as a parasite. And plus, there's something always, well, we're seeing it in movies that are still coming out today, of course. Anything about a shapeshifter where can assume any sort of identity.
That's right.
You know, it's just a freak out because who do you know? That's the whole mystery of this movie. Who do you know? Is it you? Is it me? Who's good? And so this is a classic of parasitic horror. Number 2, The Thing from 1982. So that can only leave number 1, and you can probably guess, from 1979, the crew of a commercial spacecraft encounters a deadly life form after investigating a mysterious transmission of unknown origin. Alien.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
Oh, no.
Don't touch it. Don't touch it.
Such an appropriate number 1 on International Women's Day, because if they had just listened to the smart, also, by the way, tall woman... in the crew, none of this would have happened.
Right.
None of this would have happened. Just listen to Ripley.
But look how many films we would not have. And I think they're still making some. I still remember, I saw this in the theater. I was 15 years old. Me and all my friends went to see this. And let me tell you, when that thing busted out, we went fucking nuts. I mean, that was so great because, you know, there was obviously
nothing
no
like
internet.
It,
nobody
like it. No.
was talking.
No,
it wasn't viral. You had no idea. And holy crap. That was that's one of my favorite movie going moments still to this day because you're like, no way this is happening right now. yeah, it's fantastic. And this still holds up in so many aspects of filmmaking. I think we put it number one on our sound design countdown.
Oh, yeah.
The sound is fantastic.
Yes,
the
it
production
is.
Design, yeah. The cast, and more paranoia.
Oh, yeah.
More claustrophobia, obviously.
Yeah.
And the fact that this parasite, when you see it, when it bursts out, and it's so relatively small, and then the next time you see it, and it's gigantic.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's the concept behind the monster is...
Great.
Oh, my God. It's absolutely genius. It's one of the scariest things in all of cinema. Really,
yeah.
Just the concept behind this monster, not just that it gestates inside you, and then when it's done with you, it just shakes you off like a shell that it's breaking through. Oh, it's adorable. But then, yeah, how quickly it grows. And then everything about it, the little mouth on the inside of it and the mm-hmm. acid blood.
Oh,
every
yeah.
what? Who came up with it?
Yeah.
You're a genius. You're a madman.
The design
I
want
to get to know you.
The design of it is great. And
oh,
also
yeah.
the fact that they have room because depending on its host, it changes what it looks like when it comes
yes,
out.
Yes, we found that in
so
later
installments.
So you always
have a little bit of room to design it a little bit differently. But, man, it's so imposing. And the way they pull it off with practical effects and the
yeah.
guy in the suit,
yeah.
yeah, just great stuff. But it all
and the egg also, just,
oh,
you know,
the egg, yeah,
just the egg itself, the sort of sea of eggs, and when you watch the first one, right, and you don't know everything that's to come afterwards. How haunting that is when you're done. You're like, there were so many eggs. There were so many eggs.
Mm-hmm.
It's just it's genius.
Yeah, and the design of the face hugger. You know,
oh,
before
yeah.
we get to the main
oh, yeah.
the main monster is just yeah, just genius. It
yeah.
it definitely still holds up today, and that's why it's still churning out more movies in the franchise.
That's right.
And,
that's why it's our number one.
Number one on the list of parasitic horror for a good reason. It's Alien from 1979. Okay, quick time check.
Yep.
Ooh, yeah, we're just up against it. We got a movie here in just a couple of minutes. Well, no, we're gonna start with, as we have been doing for the last few months, we've been doing a short film first.
Yes. And this one, it's not about parasites. It's just a great movie. It is called Born Again, and it is a horror comedy from a great local filmmaker named Jason Tostevin. It's funny. It's fun. It's well made. I'm excited for you get to see it if you've not seen it before, and we're really thrilled that he let us show it.
And a little part of it will remind you of Alien. In some little part. But yeah, it's very funny and very, very clever and well written, well acted, well directed. So that'll be first.
And then we have some big news for next month.
We do.
So Chris Hamill has gotten the 4K restoration of George Romero's Dawn of the Dead. And that
yes.
is our Fright Club
yes.
Live next month. And we're pretty excited.
For the podcast audience, we are showing a sweet still photo from Dawn of the Dead.
Yeah.
And yeah, this is going to be, we're obviously very excited because most of the time, really, when we started this podcast, it was about showcasing lesser-known,
yeah,
maybe
sure.
lesser-known films that have maybe slipped through the cracks. And like tonight, a lot of people have not seen. This is a classic because we do make exceptions because Chris comes up with these fantastic finds, and
yeah,
we want to be
sure.
a part of it.
Yeah, yeah, and we're very, very excited to get a chance to show it. We're going to talk about malls in horror movies, which is a very ripe topic. I'm excited to get into that one, and we're just really pleased to get a chance to show it because this is one of the greatest.
Yeah,
I love
so
this
that
movie
is going to
so
be April 12th. We don't know yet about the short film. But we're still working on that. But we definitely hope to have another short film to
oh,
show.
Oh, we absolutely will. To be honest with you, I generally choose a short film based on the time, like how long the short film is versus how long the
right.
feature is. And so
right.
I'm trying to determine whether this is the longer cut, the 20-minute longer cut, or the 90-minute cut that we think we're going to have. So that's why we don't know the short yet. But it'll be a great one, one way or the other.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so we'll look forward to that next month. Oh, did I mention that the gas was an arm and a leg?
I think you did.
Sorry. Had to go to that well one more time. We'll get this edited and up on the all the normal channels. Of course, you can find us at Fright Club Pod on Twitter, madwolf.com, the main website, Mad Wolf Columbus on Facebook, Instagram, and Threads. And yes?
There is a Fright Club Facebook page that you can join. And
is
also,
there?
Also, we are on Instagram now.
We are on Instagram. That's right.
Fright Club Live on Instagram.
On Instagram, yeah. We're all over. And if none of that works for you, we will come to your house.
That's right, we will.
She is Ho Madden.
He's George Wolf.
And this is the Fright Club Podcast.
Stay frightened.